moments contrast that with the claim that Jesus makes in our text today, John 14. Some would say this is the most outrageous claim a person could ever make. C.S. Lewis, late great Christian author, the 20th century, said that a person who makes a claim like that is either on par with a lunatic, that is, someone who thinks himself a poached egg, or he is who he says he is. Jesus claimed, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," would be seen as very exclusivistic by some, or elitist, perhaps, by others. But I'm here, and not in my own words, but by my calling and my ordination, to say to you that the whole of the Christian faith rises and falls on this declaration. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, or he is not. And the Christian church is tasked with that proclamation. This is a very difficult context for the disciples, of course. Jesus has told them that he's going to be leaving. His departure is imminent. They're sad. They're long faced. They're down. He gives them the reassurances. In fact, this text, when I started reading it, I just for a moment I had a flashback, like we're in a funeral here this morning, because this is so commonly used. Jesus' words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. I'm going to prepare a place for you." Words of hope and encouragement, and have been for many of us as we've lost buried loved ones. The hope that we have, the promise we have of life with God in Christ in the life to come. Jesus isn't merely saying that he knows the way or that he can point them to the way, but in fact he's saying he is in his person the way. And the word used here in the Greek language, and I don't like to get in a lot of Greek here because it's all Greek to me as it is to you, but it's a word for, it comes in different forms depending on how it's being used, odao, odas. It's a word for way or journey or road. And from that we get the term odometer. It measures the length of your journey in your car. Jesus' word, "I am the way," is saying he is the road, he is the path, he is the journey to the Father. Now, as has been pointed out this morning, we have a number of students that are graduating high school here today. And it's been said, and you'll hear it again maybe this afternoon at your commencement exercise, it's a time of great change. And you know that. You know what's coming. And I'm sure for some of you there's uncertainty. Maybe even a little turmoil going on inside. Maybe some fear. It's perfectly understandable. I remember sitting at my commencement exercise 41 years ago, sitting in the middle of my graduating class, listening to the valedictorian, salutatorian, the officials and the school administration, thinking to myself, "I've got this all figured out. I've got a master plan." No, I have no idea what I'm going to do with my life. I have no idea what I'm going to do next year. And so I and many of us others that have graduated high school know the feelings that some of you bear, the uncertainty. What am I going to do? And like I said, and you've heard it, it's going to be a time of change. There's going to be some new challenges. Doing your laundry on your own for some of you. I know you'll bring it back some weekends. Getting out of bed without mom or dad shouting, banging on the floor, whatever it might be. But more importantly than all of that, many of you are going to be challenged in your belief system. I attended college in the 1970s at a secular state university. Good school. There was not, at least in my experience, and I was a sociology major, and that, if you don't understand that, is a prerequisite for unemployment. Sociology is a basic scientific study of human interaction. It's about as broad as you can get in a definition, and typically very socialistic, very liberal, very lots of things. And I learned a good many things that have been helpful and some things that just sort of went by the wayside. But in the days when I was in college, back around the time of the Civil War, there was not an open attack on my Christian faith. There was no one standing there asking me to make an oral defense for what I believe. There was no one telling me, you are wrong, you're an idiot, get with it. There was nothing like that. I remember one particular day, there was a sort of a debate going on in class. This is Philosophy 101. And one student made a declarative statement, and another student challenged him. And she said to the professor, well, what may be true for him may not be true for me. And the professor looked to the young woman who said that, and a secular PhD professor of philosophy in a state university said to her, and he was kind of a Poindexter, some of you remember that character, looking guy, he said to her, well, that's logically incoherent. Truth cannot be deviated from the truth. There is one truth or there is no truth. Wow. A secular university PhD making a statement like that. There was a bit of awkward silence in the class, I remember. In today's world, that statement, what may be true for him may not be true for me, would not only be affirmed, it would more likely be championed in a philosophy or sociology or psychology class. College students today, and students graduating that are not going to college, may well face open hostility toward the Christian faith. Expect. Prepare for it. We all live with challenges, many challenges, even uncertainties. At 50, almost 59, I still have uncertainties in my life. Some things that are not going to get figured out, and you learn to live with it. But one thing I do know, that God's word never changes. We have, in the scriptures itself, Jesus' claims from 2,000 years ago are the same today, and the claims of 2,500 years ago when God spoke through the prophet Malachi saying, I, the Lord God, do not change. Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. But you'll be challenged on that. How do you know? How do you know? How do you know to a moral certainty that Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life? That's pretty exclusivistic. What about all the other? And you'll hear all the other arguments. Well, I tell you what, if you're going to ask me for scientific, empirical evidence proving that Jesus alone is the way, truth, and the life, I can't provide the empirical knowledge of that. But what I can say, and what you can say, what all of us can say, is simply, this I believe. This I believe. The Word of God comes to us, speaks to us as law and gospel. The Holy Spirit of the living God, through the Word of God, calls us of faith. It's not something we earn. It's not something we prove. Certainly not in a test tube, in a science class, in an engineering class. It's something that God gifts us with through the power and presence of His Holy Spirit, who, by the way, has His claim on your life in your baptism. Now, 70 years ago, coming up next month, and this is ancient history to today's high school graduate, I know that. 70 years ago, June 6, 1944, Allied forces landed on the beaches of Normandy, France, opening a Western front with the thought of destroying the German war machine and bringing the European war to an end. 70 years ago, Supreme Allied Commander General Dwight David Eisenhower, later to become American president, addressed the troops with a speech that's infamous. Many of you have heard it. I want to share just a couple of opening sentences from it. It goes like this. Soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force, you are about to embark upon a great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. We used to sing a song in church a lot in Sunday school and in our congregation, and we do from time to time too. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. And I know there have been voices in the church that have been critical, it's too militaristic, etc., etc. But I think it's time to pull him out. Not to begin a campaign of waving flags, but because the Christian faith and Christians in general are at war. The war is not with guns and tanks and planes and bombs and submarines, etc. It's even sometimes very subtle, a cold war, if you will, but sometimes a very open attack. An attack on claims like Jesus' words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." To our young people that are graduating today, you may well be facing a very open and hostile world toward your faith. You need to prepare as you're going to war, because you are. Whether you seek it or not, it is there. And this may sound a bit melodramatic, Eisenhower spoke these words, but I'm always drawn to that last sentence there, and by the way, the talk goes on, and it's quite impressive for a couple of paragraphs. But these words right here, the hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. Graduates, know that your moms, your dads, your parents, your families, your church family here prays for you, and they go with you wherever you go. They care about you. You matter. And more than that, even more important than all of that, hear today the words of our Lord Jesus, which have not changed in 25 years, nor has the promise changed. The Lord Jesus Christ goes with you into a big and at times hostile world. Jesus said these words to his disciples. Lo, behold, I am with you always, even to the close of the age. The Lord Jesus Christ go with you. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand.